Okay, so we are Perek Yud Gimel. Today is the
23rd of Shvat.
Today is the 23rd of Shvat, the 8th of February 2018, and we are on Perek Yud Gimel of Vayikra, the section that is discussing much of the technical details of what causes saras and what doesn't cause saras. And how do we declare somebody to be tzaras, and many of those issues. So there are a few things discussed over the course of the parasha, but one caught my eye, which very important in general, and that is was brought about by a issue, a shaila that comes up with regards to this gemara. So there is, anybody know the mesechta name that discusses the laws of tzaras? What is the name of that mesechta? Anyway, no? It's the laws of it's called Mesechas Negayim. It's in Seder Taros. And in the fourth parak of Seder Taros, the end of the fourth parak of Mesechas Negayim, it has the following machlokas here. It says, "In Beheres Kadma L'Seir Lavan," that if the Beheres, if the sign, right, we're talking about the sign and what's required for the sign, needs to have two white hairs in the middle for it to be considered Saras. So if the Beheres comes before the white hairs, Tameh. So the person is considered Tameh. However, Vim Seir Lavan Kadam L'Beheres, if the white hairs precede the Beheres, even though the Beheres develops around it, so then that person is going to be considered Tahor. Okay? We good so far?
What is it, the Beheres? The circle?
The Beheres is the blotch, right? The circle. If the white hair, and there's white hair, if the white hair comes before the Beheres, so then it's the person's Tahor. If the white hair comes later, so then the person is going to be Tameh. Good so far. What about if it's a suffix? Which came first, the Beheres or the Seir? So Vim Suffolk, the Mishnah says Tame. That person is going to be considered Tame. Why did you say Tame?
Doris.
You say Suffolk Doris of Luchumra.
Yeah.
Now you want to say also?
When in doubt, you know, it's...
Right, we're going to be machmer. That's what he's saying. Safek d'oraisa l'chumra. So the truth is, it doesn't exactly work in the area of tzaras. We have different ways in different areas of halacha. We have different ways of deciding on how to decide on sfeikos, right? When it comes to what we're learning about Hilchos Shabbos, so mitzvos ben adam l'makom, yoredeya, those kinds of mitzvos, we assume safik d'oraisa l'chumra, safik d'orvan l'kula, right? D'oraisa laws we go stringently, rabbinic laws we go leniently. What about if it's an area of monetary law? So how do we decide sfeikos? How do we decide cases of uncertainty? So that also that's going to be decided in a different way, because what's machmir for one side is going to be makil for the other side. Right? If you're being stringent on one, then you're being lenient on the other one. So how do we decide those halachos, those sveikos? So that's decided by somebody, what we call hamotzi mechavero lavaraya, that the person who's trying to take from the other one, he has the burden of proof. Right? That a person who is the possession is 9/10 of the law. So what about in areas of tumah v'tara, though? So tumah v'tara get their own ways of deciding sfeikos, because they're also a sefek being machmir one way is going to make ill another way. I'm going to be machmir and rule the person tamei, so that person can't go to the Beis HaMikdash. They can't go to the Beis HaMikdash, so then that means they can't bring the Korban Pesach. So that's pretty bad. They can't do a lot of other things if they can't go into the Beis HaMikdash. So it's not so easy to just say, oh, we're going to be machmir and rule the person tahor, or rule the person tamei. So it has its own rules, and that is safek tuma bershus hayachid is tamei, and bershus harabim it's going to be tahor. That if it comes up in a private property, it's going to be considered tamei. If it's a public property, it's going to be considered tahor. That's the official way. Although the truth is, that doesn't come up very often.
Is there a reason why the sequence matters?
I mean the sequence.
Like they say, if the white hairs come.
I think what the Torah tells us that.
Is there any commentary about that?
In Beheres Kegris came l'shtei. Why would that be? Otherwise, I don't know. That it has to turn the hair white. That's the way the pasuk says it. So, that's the rule. So you want to say, well, what is there anything to darshan out from that?
Right.
Sure, maybe. Things on the out, because hair is considered something what's coming from the inside, right? So if something starts on the outside, then goes into the inside, and then we see that the inside is rotted just like the outside is, that could work, something along those lines. Okay, so what about the case of a suffix in this case? So we have another way of resolving sfeikus when it comes to Tumah V'Tahara, and that is we follow the chazakah. We follow what it was. So what's the chazakah here in this case of a person who has tzaras? So his chazakah is that he is tahor, right? He was tahor, and now we have a question about whether he has tzaras. So him having tzaras would uproot the chazakah that he already had, in which case we would rule that that person should be considered tahor. However, the other way of saying it is that, yeah, he might have a chazakah, he might have a proof that the standard as to what it was, but obviously that standard had to change at some point. And the idea that he now has a beheres indicates to us that perhaps it was a hair before or after, so that's what we call a reyesa, in which case that chazaka perhaps falls away. In which case it might be considered a dindo reisa, that person is going to be considered tame. So anyway, so it is a machlokas, as we see here, imsafik tame, and Rabbi Yeshua says that it would be kaha. Therefore we would rule that kaha means that we're not sure, but we would rule the person to be considered tahor. Safik tahor, because based on his chazakah. Fine, so that's a machlokas in the Mishnah. There's a Gemara in Maseches Bava Metzia, Daf Pevav Amar Aleph, that has a discussion regarding Rav Chama Bar Bartei. Rav Chama Bar... Sorry, about Rabba Bar Nachmani. Rabba Bar Nachmani died because of fear endeared by persecution. What is the story of Rabba Bar Nachmani? Again, this is Pei Vav Amin Aleph, Maseches Bava Metzia. So there's a question. He was teaching, and he started running away, and he ran from place to place to place to place to place, and the soldiers kept on running after him. Eventually, they were able to catch him. They brought him to the king. And an Ile Liadruna, they put him in some chamber. Utrake Levava Ba'anfe. And he bolted the door shut of this chamber. So Bay Rachme, he davened, Parakashisa. The wall falls away, and he runs away. Arakva Azil Akme, runs away into the swamp. So Avayasiv Agirda de Dikula. So he was sat in the swamp. He was sitting on a stump of tree, in a stump of a palm tree, the Kalgaris, and he was learning Torah. So Kamifla gave him a sifta derikia. At that time that he was learning Torah in the swamp, there was a machlokes going on in the Heavenly Academy. You familiar with this? Know the story?
No.
They're having a machlokes up there. What's their machlokes about? You guessed it. In beheres kodemes l'seir lavan. If the beheres comes before the white hair, the person's going to be tameh. V'im seir lavan kodem l'beheres. And if the white hair comes before the beheres, that person's going to be tahor. Safek, right? The safek was the subject of the machlokas in the Mishnah Maseches Nagayim. What about safek? So it's a machlokas up in Shemayim as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu omer tahor. V'kuhu mesifta derikia amri tameh. That Hashem paskin that should be tahor, and everybody else up there paskin that the person should be tameh. So, gosh, what do we do now? Right, that's a pretty big machlokas. So, va'amri, so they say, my nochach, how are we going to paskin the shayla? So, nochach, Rabba Bar Nachmani. They said, let's go to Rabba Bar Nachmani. Dama Rabba Bar Nachmani, ani yachid bin negayim, ani yachid bin olos. I'm an expert in negayim, an expert in olos. Shadru shlicha basri, they sent an angel to talk to him. Lo hava matzah, right, who's the angel that they sent in order to talk to him? The Malcham Aves, right? They're going to bring him up in order to pass in the Shaila. So lo hava matzi Malcham Aves l'mikrofle. So the Malcham Aves couldn't get close to him. The lo hava kapasik pumiyim migirsa, because they couldn't. He wouldn't stop learning Torah. So the hachi nashav zika. So the wind blew. Avavish beni kene, and a loud voice came amongst the reeds. Savar gunda the parashi, who he thought that it must be the horse people that are coming to arrest him. Amri said tenach nashay dehu gavra. May I pass away lo yimser biyad the malchusa, rather than be giving over to the government. Ki hava kana. And when he was dying, he was saying the words Tahor, Tahor. So he was saying Tahor. So Yatz the Baskel Va'amra, Rabba Bar Nachmani Shagufeich Tahor V'Yatz Nishmasa V'Tahor. How fortunate is Rabba Bar Nachmani that his body was Tahor and he left with the word Tahor on his lips. So how does that Gemara seem to paskin on our Shaila? Tahor, right? You would assume that we should be passing Tahor. So the problem is, if you look up in the Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Tzaras, the notation up here, in Hilchos Tumas Tzaras, says the Rambam, can't find it here. It's in Hilchos Tumas Tzaras, Perek Beis Halacha Vav, and there the Rambam says, Paskins Yirali Shehu Tameh. it appears to me that we should pass that person is Tamei. So A, he's paskening like the Malachim against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Malachim and the Kadosh Baruch Hu seem to decide that we're going to ask Rav Bar Nachmani what he thinks. The Gemara seems to assume that he paskened like Hashem, but the Rambam seems to pasken against Hashem like the Chacham. Why would that be? So if you take a look at the Rambam, in the classic edition of the Rambam, there are commentaries along the side of the Rambam, right? Like in the Gemara, there is Peis along the side, right? Comes out the side and goes down the side. And the in some of the areas, it's called the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah was written by, anybody know?
That was the Rambam.
No.
The Rambam.
The other, no. No, Rambam wrote the Rambam. Commentary on the Rambam. The other one, Rav Yosef Karo. Yeah. Yes, Rav Yosef Karo wrote the Kesef Mishnah. And there he comments that, yes, it's true, sounding like from the Gemara Baba Metzia, we should rule that that person should be Tahor. But how did the Rambam get his idea that he should be Tameh? So he paskin like the Mishnah Maseches Degayim. Because in the Mishnah Maseches Degayim, it says, if the person is a Safek, we're going to rule the person is Tameh. And Rabbi Yeshua says, Kiha. Rabbi Yeshua says, we're going to grit our teeth, we're going to rule that the person is going to be Tahor. How do we paskin when you have a machlokas between a Tanakama, where there's no name attached to it, and then there is a yachid, an individual that comes after the first opinion of the Mishnah? We paskin like the first opinion, right? So that's for the Rambam said that we should paskin that person is going to be Tameh, rather than paskin that person is going to be Tahor. Okay, so that's a very interesting thing, because you know, you throw Hashem into the machlokas, and we actually end up with the Rambam paskin against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that reminds us of another story in Maseches Baba Metzia. What is that other famous story in Maseches? The more famous story in Maseches Baba Metzia that shows up about 30 dafim earlier. What?
About the majority.
Very good. Right. The machlokas about the Tanur Shelachnai. What actually was the machlokas about? It was called the Tanur Shelachnai, the Torah of a coiled serpent. But what exactly was that about? So it was about a oven, that's a earthenware oven, that was smashed and then was kind of glued together with sand. So therefore, rather than being an earthenware oven, it now might be considered a kli adama, might be considered a earthware, not when it was clay, now it's considered earthenware, clay adama, what we call just mud, a mud kind of thing. A mud kind of thing is going to be considered tahor. So that is the machlokas between the Rabban and Rabbi Eliezer and that Gemara. Rabbi Eliezer paskin tahor, and the Chachamim paskin tamei. And are familiar with the story, the Rabbi Eliezer said, everybody passes like me, if the Lalcha is like me, the walls of the Beis Medrash should fall in, and the water should start flowing backwards, and how about was the other one?
The tree, right.
What was the story with the tree? Charev say yuchiyach nekar charevim komu mea amos. Right, the carob tree was uprooted and moved 100 amos. There you go. So that's the thing I deal with the carob tree. Say all those things. So then he says, locals like me. So then, right, the water and with the base batei midrashim, the base medrash, and then finally he said, min hashemayim yuchichu, let it be proven from heaven. Yatz the baskol ve'amra, heavenly voice came out and said, malachem eitz Rebbe Eliezer. What argument do you have with Rebbe Eliezer? Shalach kamosu b'chol makom. You always passing like him. Amud Rabbi Yeshua al ragla ve'amar. Lo v'shamayim. So Rabbi Yeshua got up and said, Lo v'shamayim. We're not going to paskin like it is in Shemayim. By the way, Rabbi Yeshua is the same Rabbi Yeshua that appears in this Mishnah. That paskin like Hashem in this Mishnah, and we don't paskin like him. Right? The Rambam doesn't paskin like him, right? But Lo v'shamayim. What does that mean? Rabbi Yirmiyah says, Shekfar nitna Torah mi'ar Sinai, Einanu mashkichim bevaskul, Shekfar kasafta bahar Sinai b'Torah, Achri Rab Mahatos. It already says in that we paskin, that we follow the Rabbim, Ashrechei Rabbi Nassan l'ayo, one period. And that's how we're going to paskin. So the Gemara just finishes up by saying that one time Rabbi Nassan found Eliyahu, my avikut shabrichu b'ahishayit. What was he doing at that time? Amar Lei Eliyahu responded, Kach chayech v'amra. He was laughing and saying, Itzchuni v'nai, itzchuni v'nai. My children have prevailed. My children have prevailed. Okay, great. So, just very quick. This could be a week or two worth of shiurim on this topic, at least. But just very simply, what does that mean? Right? If the lacha is like one way, so how could we paskin the other way? Or is that seems to be the understanding here? So, what's going on? So there are. I guess we could probably categorize them into two different mahalchim, how to come about understanding this. One of them is that the halacha, we're right about the halacha. The other one might be that we're wrong about the halacha. All right, the one that we're right about the halacha, you'll have to figure out, well, how could it be that Hashem is saying one thing and we're saying the opposite thing and yet we're right anyways? That's one approach. The other approach is that, no, Hashem is right, we're wrong, but despite the fact, we have to do what we're doing anyways. Right, so those are the two different ways that one would go about attempting to tackle this. So, okay, so one, the second way is perhaps most known, or what I said was the first way, the idea that, no, we're right anyways, perhaps is most said most clearly by a Ritva in Maseches Eruvin. Maseches Eruvin talks about Eilu ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. That line is there, right? This idea that we have multiple opinions, and yet they're both are part of the living Torah. So the Gemara there says, Shalu Rabbeinu Tzarfa. So it's not actually the position of the Ritva himself, but rather it's the opinion of the Rabbeinu Tzarfas. Who are the Rabbeinu Tzarfas? Anybody know what's Tzarfat? Tzarfat is France. That sounds a lot. It sounds the same, right? Tzarfat is France, Ashkenaz is Germany, and Sepharad is Spain, right? So Tzarfat are French. Who are the French sages? Who would they be asking from there? So the Balei Tosfos. The Balei Tosfos are known as being French. So Shalu Rabbeinu Tzarfat, Heyach Efshar Shehu Shneim Divrei Elokim Chayim, V'ze Oser V'ze Moter. How is it possible that two people are saying, that both of them are correct, and one is saying it's us, and one of them is Moter? V'tertzu, and they say, K'shala Moshe L'maro L'kabel Tayr. When Moshe went up to accept the Torah, Heru lo as kol davar v'davar, Hashem showed him everything. Memtes panam le'isser, memtes panam le'heter. There's 49 ways of saying that it would be usser, 49 ways of saying that it would be mutter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked on this, V'amar shehizem masr l'chachmi yisrael shebechol davar dor. And he said that it's given over to all the chacham of every generation via hachra kemosim, and we're going to pass him like them. V'nachon hu l'fi adrashim, it would be correct. Uv'derech emes yish tam sod b'davar. So it's correct in terms of homiletically, and even in terms of truth, there is a yish tam sod b'davar. There is like a secret in this that there is. It sounds like the Ritva seems to be saying that there is what to say about this. So this is known as the sheet of the chachmi tzarfas, the sheet of Tosfos. That yeah. That you could have multiple people be correct. That's okay. That the Torah is built within the Torah are multiple ways of understanding what the halacha is. And we have the right to paskin in our generation as we see fit. So what's going on in the Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia? So Maseches Bava Metzia, where the Rebbe Eliezer is saying one thing, the Chacham arguing on him is saying the other thing. Both of them, so to speak, are quote-unquote right, but yet we have to figure out how we're going to paskin. So we're going to paskin by following the Rov, following the majority of the Rabbanim. Probably they're making a whole lot of sense. That is one way of understanding that. You can add to that the idea that Tosfos points out that what was the why is there a Baskel that's shouting out that Rebbe Eliezer is correct? Right, a Baskel came out and said Rebbe Eliezer is right. So what does it mean that Rebbe Eliezer is right? So that Tosfos would then have to say, yeah. And Tosfos in fact does say, Tosfos in Maseches Bava Metzia as well as in Maseches Yevamos, where a similar Tosfos is raised, comments, because there's another Baskel that Tosfos asks about, and Tosfos says there's another Baskel that we pass like Basil over Bishamai. Right? Tosfos declared, the Baskel declared that. Tosfos says, well, why should we care what the Baskel says? I thought we don't Paskel like Baskels. And why here are we Paskeling like Basil or Bishamai? Simply because there's a Baskel. So Tosfos' answer is, well, it was already decided. Either Basil was Rove anyways, and we had to just kind of figure out a way to make sure we pass like Basil because Bishamai was sharper, whatever that means, if we're going to follow Basil. Or maybe perhaps here, it was that we were just humoring, we were just giving kind of respect. Hashem was giving respect for Rebbe Eliezer. Hashem was making Rebbe Eliezer feel good, feel better, but really, the halacha was not like him, or it was like the chachamim and like him. We were going to pass like the chachamim over him. There is an echo of this that is sort of found within the Drashos HaRan. The Ran, I didn't bring the Ran here, but the Drashos HaRan has several. The Ran is in the back of the Gemara. There's a book called the Drushos HaRan. A little very hard to read, but there is a very beautiful new edition that was put out by Musadar of Cook a few years ago. He, I think, discusses this in four or five of the 12 Drushos in the Drushos HaRan. He must have had very nice Balabatim. We'll let him speak for a very long time, because they're all pretty lengthy. And from here we see that you could talk about these types of halachos and it still be called a drasha, Bruce. See? That's my makor for doing this on Musar Day. But the Ran comments that how do we understand the idea of multiple truths? That there's sort of Hashem's truth and our truth. That Hashem has his perception, but we're not supposed to be passing the halacha based on Hashem's perception. We're passing the halacha based on our perception, and that seems to be inclining towards the idea that there would then be multiple truths. That there's our perspective and Hashem's perspective, maybe only one truth, but yet different perspectives on that truth, and therefore different people, or there could be different positions on how to act in a particular matter, and then both be right.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
During the time of Nevoah, was it also this way, or was it, you know, would you say it was the same thing?
So I don't think so. We don't really have recordings of Machlokasim during the time of Nevoah, although actually there is. I came here, there's a Maseches, there is a something in Maseches Gittin. There's a Sefer here called Sefer Das Torah, which is kind of like an index to a lot of these topics. So he had some Makoros on this, not all of what we're talking about, but he had some Makoros on this topic of, this page 138, am I right? No. 187. In 187, Torah is not in heaven, man decides halacha. The very first thing he has is that God cites the chiddush of men. It's a Gemara Maseches Gittin, where there's a machlokas about what to do, who's right in terms of the machlokas of Pilegesh Begiva, which will be discussed in our Shoftim Shir and Shul in a couple of weeks, I guess. We'll be back on in there. And actually it discusses Hashem following both positions and trying to figure out who's right. So that's one thing. But he has the last section here is prophecy is not valid to generate halachos. It might be true, but during the age of prophecy, the prophet was also the Gadol Ador. Meaning, yeah, we're not going to paskin based on the Nevuah, right. But it could, if it goes against us, but we could use, you know, the Nevuah could indicate which way we're going to paskin. Right, it's a little bit of a difference there. So that's one way, that's one of the approaches. The approach is that everyone's right, and one person adds, then the third person comes and says, how could both sides be right? And the answer, of course, is, you're right too. And it's not something that I really understand, but that's the idea. We're going to follow the rule. The other side, you can decide whether this is more interesting or less interesting, is that no, there is only one right answer. One right answer. So how could in the world could we paskin against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, or how in the world can we paskin against the Baskel? So the Sefer HaChinuch discusses the mitzvah of a Zaki Mamre. And we know what the mitzvah of the Zaki Mamre is. Zaki Mamre is the rebellious elder. What is the rebellious elder? He says, I'm right. He says, I have the following sheet, and everybody says, no, you're wrong. He goes, eventually works himself up to the Beis Din, up to the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin says, we're right. Sorry, this is the halacha. And the Zaki Mamre leaves the Sanhedrin, and he says, even though Sanhedrin says this, we're going to do that. And he instructs people to do something else because he holds he's right. Right? Not that he says, I have kashas, I don't understand, but I'm going to follow them anyways. He says, no, we're going to do differently. So that person is called the Zaki Mamre. So in the Sefer HaChinuch on the mitzvah, regarding the mitzvah of Zaki Mamre, so he raises this issue. He talks about this, the story of Rabbi Eliezer, B'tanur Shel Achnai, Amru Sham Eshkechei Rabbi Nassan Eliyahu, what he said, Nitzchuni Benai, Zitzchuni Benai, Shayesh Sameach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Shiyu Banav Holchim Derech HaTorah, V'mitzvos Lahatos Acharei Rabbi. What was Hashem so happy about? That they were following the Torah, because the Torah gives us instructions on what to do when we're not sure. We're supposed to follow the majority. And I, Hashem Paskins, the other way. No, but we follow the majority. And that's what he says, Nitzchuni Benai, Chalil that this machlokas Rabbi Eliezer had with his chaverim, ha'emes hayik Rabbi Eliezer. Really, the correct halach was like Rabbi Eliezer. The kedivrei habaskol shechuyu kamoso. The baskol was right in saying that Rabbi Eliezer is right. Ba'afal pisha haya emes ito b'zeh. Even though he was right, the yisrom pilpulo al chaverim lo yardu l'sov daitiv l'ratz l'hodus l'dvar afil achar baskol. But his chaverim didn't want to figure out what he was really referring to, and they didn't want to agree with him after the Paschal. Then he brought a proof, min adin hakavua b'torah shetzivasen alach sacharei rab the olim ben yom ms o afilu tohim. The answer is we follow the majority, whether we're right or whether we're wrong. That's the way the Sefer Achinuch records it. And that's what Hashem Med says. He beat me. They have the majority. They win. The halacha is going to be like them rather than the halacha be like me, even though Aliba the Emes, the real truth, is that Hashem is right. Obviously, Hashem is right. Yes?
I mean, don't we have that? I'm trying to remember exactly. I can remember in Megillah, in the Sefer Megillah, which says that we don't follow. I'm talking about, was it, well, if somebody from another generation is greater, or if there's a greater, but maybe it's a greater best din.
Yeah. We're not vatal things of previous generations.
Why can't we say, well, Hashem is certainly greater than anybody else, so why can't we use that argument?
Well, that's talking about where we don't have an indication about what Hashem holds.
Ah.
Right, that's Hashem's not in the picture there. I mean, he is, but he's not. He's not trying to tilt the scales. Here, Hashem is actually, we seem to have an opinion from Hashem, and we're still not paskening like Hashem. So Sefer Achinuch is saying, yeah, because Hashem gave us instructions, and Rove beats out Hashem. Right, that's the answer. That's the answer to what the Sefer Achinuch says. This is also indicated by the Ksos HaChoshen in his introduction, also discusses this idea, and discusses even if we might be wrong, we're still going to be considered right. And this din of Zaki Mami, I was actually listening to a recording recently from a program called Headlines. Found it. It's a podcast. Well, it's a shir. It's every Motzi Shabbos, put out by someone named Rabbi David Lichtenstein. He is just very fascinating. He just takes a topic and interviews different people that are on different sides of an issue. So he had a couple of weeks ago discusses the issues of the protests that are going on in Eretz Yisrael by the Haredim, right? The Peleg Yerushalmi, the small faction in Yerushalayim that you might have seen this in the news. They were closing streets and they were yelling and screaming, etc. So what?
They've been doing that for years.
Right. So there was a newest iteration of it took place a couple of weeks ago. So he discussed the topic of so they say, well, we have our day, we have our rabbi who's telling us what to, our rabbi is telling us what to do. So who are us to tell us we're wrong? So there is an idea of Rov Klal Yisrael. There's an idea of Rov Rabbanim, even Bizman Hazeh, that we have an idea. I spoke about this.
The majority rules.
Right. And the idea of a majority rules even applies Bizman. Is that many suggest? So Rav Moshe Feinstein actually before we get to Rav Moshe, but that's probably how the Gemara was accepted. The Gemara was accepted because the majority of Bnei Yisrael said we're going to accept the Gemara, right? And we're going to and with many halachos over the years, I tina that the same thing happened with mechitzos in the 40s and 50s. I mean, there was a real machlokas, a legitimate machlokas, whether you need to have a mechitzah in shul or not. But after every Orthodox rabbi decided, that this is the way it's going to be, that's the way it's going to be. And from that point onwards, to not have a mechitzah in shul is considered not Orthodox.
Even that wasn't a problem in Europe. I mean, since
it wasn't an issue. So somebody raised the taina. Somebody raised an issue in the early part of the 1900s. I have a whole shiur on mechitzos on Yitor if you want to listen to it. Wow. But the first 50s, 60s, from the beginning of the conservative movement until the 50s. So they said we're right. We're halachic. We're find me in the Torah where it says you need to have a mechitza in shul. Yeah, you're going to bring me a proof from about the Beis Hamikdash. It's not the best proof. But we decided the Rabban, the gedolim of that generation, not just the gedolim, but the Rove Klai Yisrael decide that's the way it's going to be. From that point forward, you're only Orthodox if you have a mechitza in shul. So could you also have the concept of Zakin Mamri Bizman Hazeh? So Rav Moshe Feinstein actually writes in Chelek Beis this is the wrong guy, Igros Moshe. In Igros Moshe Chelek Beis, or Choshen Mishpat Chelek Beis Simon Aleph, Rav Moshe Paskins, yes! That if a person goes against Rove of Klal Yisrael and says, not only are you guys wrong, but do I think you guys are wrong, but I'm going to act against you, says Rav Moshe, they have the din of a Zakin Mamri. Now, they can't be put to death because you need a Sanhedrin of people with smicha to put them to death. But the din of Zakin Mamri is still alive and well, suggests Rav Moshe. So that's what was going on in this program as well. You guys think that you have your shitas, therefore you're going to be different than all of us, but Rove of Klal Yisrael has decided against you with a lot of these issues. So one has to be respectful of that idea. Now, when do you say that, and when do you say other things? I mean, Rav Moshe in his introduction, Rav Moshe was also a fierce, independent thinker, and in his introduction to all of Igros Moshe, the first volume, he discusses two famous cases in the Gemara where Rabbanim did their own thing, something with regards to Hilchos Shabbos and something with regards to Hilchos Kashrus. That one of the Rabbanim said, chicken and milk is mutter to eat together.
Right.
And the Gemara praises him. And in his town, they ate chicken and milk, and the Gemara praises him. So how do you when do you say that Rov Klai Yisrael is everything against, you know, that we follow the majority of Rabbanim, versus when do you say that there's a people have a right to their own opinion, sometimes even if it's against everybody else? Right, how do you decipher that? So we'll have to reserve that for a discussion for another time. Okay, all right, Shikoff, you have questions? You're still pondering something?
That's a fascinating topic. So once it was already decided to...